time for the E21 Go Sports Podcast. Now, here's your host, Easton Durant.
Hi, welcome to E21 Go Sports. I'm Easton Durant, and in today's episode, I'll be talking about NFL, NBA, and MLB news. Let's get right into it. Los Angeles Chargers GM Tom Telesco told reporters today that the team informed Melvin Gordon representation that talks regarding his contract extension have been postponed until the end of the season. When or if Melvin reports, he'll play the season under his current contract and we'll just revisit it after the season, Telesco said. Gordon is set to make $5.605 million in 2019 on the fifth-year team option of his rookie deal. With contract talks at a stop, the Chargers granted Gordon's representation permission to seek a trade with another team so he could potentially play elsewhere this season under a new deal if he finds a trade partner and the Chargers agree to the term. Melvin Gordon did not report to the start of training camp at the end of July, telling the Chargers through his representation that if he does not receive a new deal, he'll sit out and demand a trade. Melvin Gordon desires a contract extension that will compensate him among the top running backs in the league, such as Todd Gurley, David Johnson, and Le'Veon Bell, who earn on an average of $13 to $14 million annually. Earlier this summer, the Chargers offered Gordon a new contract that potentially doubled his salary at roughly $10 million annually, but at this point, the offer does not appear to be available anymore. Telesco said the Chargers will turn to Austin Eckler and Justin Jackson to shoulder the load of running back while Gordon is unavailable. Telesco said, those two guys are going to work in tandem with each other. I think the day and age of having to have one running back to carry at 300 times is probably not the smartest thing in the world anyways. Even if you have a big bell cow back, you'd have to have another back to come in and spell them, give them some rest, and have a different dimension. So right now, we're very happy with Austin as an every down back. Gordon's holdout is one of the couple early season adversaries facing the Chargers, a team expected to compete for a playoff berth for a second year in a row and a deep postseason run this year. Left tackle Russell Okung was placed on the reserve/non-football illness list to start the season due to pulmonary embolism caused by blood clots and cannot play for at least the first 6 weeks of the regular season. And all-pro safety Derwin Jones is expected to be placed on the injured reserve list and after surgery to repair a stress factor in his right foot and will not be able to play until November at the earliest. However, Telesco said the team is unfazed by its early misfortune, saying, every season there's going to be obstacles that you have, and that's just the way it is. It's our job to figure out a way around them. It's our job to have solutions to them, and it's our job to play through them. Moving on to the next, the Houston Texans have made big, big deals this offseason after the past couple of days. He made two big deals that will hopefully define his future in Houston. So the Houston traded a 2020 first round pick, a 2021 first round pick, a 2021 second round pick, tackle Julian Davenport, and cornerback Johnson Bladismo. And Houston receives Laremy Tunsil, Kenny Stills, and a 2020 fourth round pick, 2021 sixth round pick. So this is who has been in and who has been out the past couple of days. The people who have been out would be J.D. Von Clowney, who was traded to the Seahawks, Martinez Rankin, 2020 first round pick, 2020 first round pick, 2021 second round pick. And who they got was Carlos Hyde, Barkevious Mingo, Laremy Tunsil, Kenny Stills, and a 2020 third-round pick. The Seahawks made it clear that they are trying to get – they're trying to buff up their defense again to get the Legion of Boom back to its original to its original factor. And by trading for Tunsil, the Texans fill the biggest hole in the roster and give their offense of Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, and Will Fuller the chance to show how good it can be as it looks on paper. Adding Stills to provide some much-needed depth at receiver and provides insurance if either Fuller or Kiki Kuti cannot stay healthy in 2019. Kenny Stills was the Dolphins' number one receiver and a captain last year. He primarily has functioned as a dynamic deep threat, but he has had success making plays out of the slot. Stills has been at the forefront of the NFL player protest, but yeah. The Texans traded Clowney to the Seahawks for a 2020 third-round pick, and Barkevis Minko and Jacob Martin because they did not want to sign Clowney to a long-term extension, even though they have the salary cap space to do it. They wanted to trade Jadeveon Clowney. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce the first name. They wanted to trade him because he's been holding out since the start of the regular season. They paid a high price in both trades. In essence, the Texans on Saturday gave away Clowney 2 first-round picks and a second-round pick for Tunsil, Stills, and some mid-round picks. But if the deal allows Watson and the offense to flourish for years to come, because Houston has a franchise left tackle for the first time since Duane Brown in 2017, they could certainly be worth it. In another move, the Texans also made a trade with the Chiefs for running back Carlos Hyde, a former second-round pick who will be playing for his fourth team in less than a calendar year. The 28-year-old running back, who has 43 career starts and has averaged 4.0 yards per carry in his career, will help fill a void left when Lamar Miller was placed on the injury reserve with a torn ACL. Now, these trades make big things for both teams. The Seahawks get a good defender in Jadeveon Clowney, and that could help Russell Wilson and the defense because they've been struggling ever since the Legion of Boom left last, or the Legion of Boom fell apart with injuries and people leaving, and Richard Sherman wanting to get paid. But the Texans get a huge, huge help on offense because now they have some of the best players on offense: Deshaun Watson, Kenny Stills, DeAndre Hopkins, Laremy Tunsil. They almost have every position figured out and covered with Carlos Hyde now. Moving on, the Panthers have cut Torrey Smith after waiver claims. On today, they released veteran wide receiver Torrey Smith after claiming Minnesota Vikings receiver Brandon Zylstra off waivers. The Panthers traded for Torrey Smith in March 2018 to add veteran leadership to a young receiving corps. He came with a $5 million salary for 2018 and 19, then took $2 million cut this offseason while rehabbing from a knee surgery. Moving on to MLB news. Justin Verlander pitched his third career no-hitter, punctuating a dominant season with an overpowering performance to lead the Astros past the Blue Jays 2-0 today. Verlander struck out 14, allowing just one runner, walking Kevon Biggio with one out in the fifth inning. Justin Verlander said, "I can't put it into words." Justin Verlander is now one of just six pitchers to throw at least three no-hitters. He is now the first pitcher to throw two no-hitters as a visitor in the same park. He threw one at Rogers Center in 2011 with Detroit. His other no-hitter was in 2007 with the Tigers against Milwaukee. Verlander threw a season-high 120 pitches, mixing the lineup full of young, aggressive batters, never came close to a hit. Verlander said, "You start thinking about it a little bit in the third, fourth, fifth inning. After that, it's definitely on your mind, and then eighth inning, it's very prevalent. Ninth inning, I had memories of blowing a few in the past in the ninth inning, so I'd be lying if I said I wasn't thinking about it. I think my fastball had been good all day. It had really good life on it. My slider was a little bit inconsistent, so I think it would have kicked myself in the butt a little bit, but I had gotten beat on a bad one. Just kind of leaned on the fastball in the last inning. I was able to get some outs. This is the fourth no-hitter in the majors this year. The last one was by an Astros combined effort from Aaron Sanchez, Will Harris, Joe Bianchi, and Chris Davinsky against Seattle on August 3rd. Oakland's Mike Fiers and an effort by Taylor Cole and Felix Pena of the Angels accounted for this year's other gems. Verlander's 17-5 is tied for the lead in wins. He tops the majors in strikeouts, 257 in innings with 193, and leads the NL with a 2.56 ERA. Now, one thing that I wanted to talk about leading after this was how the Astros are going to do in the postseason. They have the second best record in the NL. The Twins are close to the Yankees, are third, but close. They're five wins away from the Astros and six wins away from the Yankees. Now, the Twins have really no comparison. Have no real competition in the West. The Mariners and the A's are kind of far behind. The A's are 78-58, 10 games behind. The next team after that is the Rangers, who are 67-70, below 500, who are 21.5 games away. Are 21.5 games away from the lead there. Looking at the other teams in the East, it's basically Yankees, who are 90-48, Twins, who are 84-52, and the Astros, who are 89-49. In the National League, there's more of a the teams are closer. It's the Braves and the Nationals, who are in the NL East. It's the Cubs and the Cardinals. And the Dodgers basically have a surefire way into the playoffs. Their Diamondbacks are 17 games behind them, and there's no way that they're even coming close to getting them. If you look here I'm looking at the wild card spot. It's Rays and Indians. The Rays are 80-58, and the Indians are 79-58. The A's are half a game back. They are just outside the wild card spot, and the Red Sox are 5.5 games away from the wild card. In the National League, it's the Nationals and the Cubs, with the Diamondbacks are 3 games away. Now moving over to NBA news. LeBron files a trademark for the term Taco Tuesday. He was going to sell merch and make a podcast called Taco Tuesday, which supposedly was going to happen. The Rockets and Gordon reach a $54.5 million deal. Sorry. Eric Gordon has agreed to a 3-year, $54.5 million contract extension that will take him through the 2022-23 season. Gordon's deal, which starts with the 2020-21 season, includes $20.9 million season in 2023-24 that would become guaranteed if Gordon makes an all-star team or if the Rockets win a championship during the course of the deal. Gordon, 30, was entering the final year of his contract in this coming year, which was worth $14 million. Gordon has averaged nearly 17 points in his 3 seasons with the Rockets, including a NBA Sixth Man of the Year award. Gordon is one of the key parts of the Rockets nucleus that includes James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Clint Capella that's expected to compete with the elite in the Western Conference. Now, I think that the Rockets could be a contender. Or they are a contender no matter what, but I don't think they're winning the West. The Clippers are my guess right now to win the West. They have better better offense and better defense than the Rockets. Lakers would be about second or third. Basically from there, it's whoever has the best record. One thing that I could see going wrong with the Rockets is that they're going to try and stat pad with Westbrook and Harden, and it's going to be a little bit hard to win because they're too busy trying to stat pad, but I don't really think that's the case. I could see that happening a tiny bit the first, like, 5-10 games or so, but after that, it's just going to be normal basketball from there on out. So that kind of is what's going to happen. Well, thanks for listening to E2N Go Sports. As always, I'm Easton Durant. You can subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at E2N Go Sports. Thank you.
You've been listening to the E2N Go Sports Podcast, a production of Cogger Podcast Network.